Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While Bhishma was describing occupational duties, the sun's course ran into the northern hemisphere. This period is desired by mystics who die at their own will. Purport. The perfect yogis or mystics can leave the material body at their own sweet will, at a suitable time, and go to a suitable planet, desired by them. In the Bhagavad Gita 8:24, it is said that self-realized souls who have exactly identified themselves with the interests of the Supreme Lord can generally leave the material body during the time of the fire god's effulgence. And when the sun is in the northern horizon, and thus achieve the transcendental sky. In the Vedas, these times are considered auspicious for quitting the body. And they are taken advantage of by the expert mystics who have perfected the system. Perfection of yoga means attainment of such supramental states as to be able to leave the material body as desired. Yogis can also reach any planet within no time without a material vehicle. The yogis can reach the highest planetary system within a very short time. And this is impossible for the materialists. Even attempting to reach the highest planet will take millions of years at a speed of millions of miles an hour per hour. This is a different science, and Bhishma Dev knew well how to utilize it. He was just waiting for the suitable moment to quit his material body, and the golden opportunity arrived when he was instructing his noble grandsons, the Pandavas. He thus prepared himself to quit his body before the exalted Lord Shri Krishna. The pious Pandavas and the great sages, headed by Bhagavan Vyas, etc., all great souls. So the verse again, Dharmam pravaditastasya sakala pratyupastitaha Yo yo ginas chandra mrityor vanchitas tatvarayanaha. While Bhishma Dev was describing occupational duties, the sun's course ran into the northern hemisphere. This period is desired by mystics who die at their own will. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Saraswatim Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadyade Sitarane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ye yatam mam prabhajante tam stataiva bhajamyaham mamavart munu vartante mrinusya partha sarvashaha. That all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Kunti. There is only one path. And wherever we are on that path, either we're going to go upward or we're going to go down. Or we're going to try and tread water for a while before we go up and down. And here, Bhishma Dev is being glorified because he knew the science, and what he knew about that science is, number one, as Prabhupada has explained, that our purpose of the Hare Krishna movement has twofold. One is to spread the chanting of the holy names, and the other is to create the atmosphere by which the chanting of the holy names will be most effective. That we're not only just trying to chant Hare Krishna, of course we are trying to chant Hare Krishna, but we also have to make arrangements so that not only ourselves but others will be able to appreciate the chanting of the holy name, that they'll actually take it seriously. And if they don't understand it, at least they'll respect those who are chanting. So Bhishma Dev is waiting for the opportune moment, as it says in Bhagavad Gita. Mystic yoga process is quite complex. Agnira Jyotiraha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayana Tatra Chandramatam Jyotir Yogi Praptamivartate. That's the next one, actually. But that Agnira Jyotiraha Shukla, that there's a certain time when everything is more bright, the whole atmosphere is more upbeat. It's a good time to leave the body. We don't think there's any good time to leave the body. But if we're going to leave the body voluntarily, we might as well choose the time when it's most likely we're going to remember Krishna. Krishna Twadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam. Even one great devotee is praying, let the swan of my mind enter into the lotus feet of Krishna at this time, and let me quit my body at this time, as my mind enters, is fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Because kapha vata pitai, because the tendency at the time of death is that everything becomes disturbed. We're already disturbed, otherwise we wouldn't be in the material world. If we weren't disturbed, we'd be in the spiritual world. That's where one is always in ecstasy, so there's nothing to be disturbed about. Here, our happiness and our distress depends upon different material arrangements. And that's our problem, is that we're thinking that there's going to be a better material arrangement or a worse material arrangement. We don't realize that all arrangements can either be perfectly good or they're terrible. They're perfectly bad. There's no such thing as a good or bad arrangement. It's good for Krishna consciousness, and everything is good for Krishna consciousness in one sense, for those who are actually Krishna conscious. Even the worst calamity is seen as a great opportunity to focus the mind more on Krishna. And the greatest gain is seen as an opportunity to utilize more things in Krishna's service, to spread Krishna consciousness. And for materialists, they're very afraid of any material problem, and they're very anxious to have material success, what they consider material success. But according to Kunti, she has an opposite way of looking at things. Therefore it says, Ya nisha sarabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yas jagratani samyami sa nisha pashutomune. That what is night for all sentient beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. And what is the time of awakening for the self-controlled is the night for all sentient beings. So here, Bhishma Dev, he's about to die. The worst thing that can happen to anyone. But he's very happy about it. As a matter of fact, this is what he wanted. And everyone crowded around him, they realize that this is very auspicious. Now, in the material world, whoever gathers around a person who's about to die and thinking, well, this is all very auspicious. As I said before, people generally, they sing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to, but no one sings, happy death day to you. But for Bhishma Dev, it's a very happy death day because he's going to back to the spiritual world. So it's actually not a death day. He's actually taking birth, really taking birth in the spiritual world. Otherwise, for everyone else in the material world, they think they're going to die, but they're not going to die. They're going to take birth again in the material world. Very inauspicious. Unless you're a devotee, taking birth to make some more spiritual progress. But for most materialists, taking birth again in the material world is, although they say it's a happy birthday, but it's not going to be a happy birthday. At least not for the person who's taking birth. Maybe everyone else is happy, but he's not very, or she's not very happy. But for a devotee, whether they come back and take birth again, or whether they go back to the spiritual world, it makes no real difference if they're actually devoted or if they're aspiring to become a devotee. Aspiring to become a devotee means that we realize that's who we are. That's who we should be. That's who we should strive for. Now, in the course of so many lifetimes, we've acquired so many extra things along with being a devotee. These are called upadhis. And in this age especially, people are very proud of their upadhis, and there's so many of them. As a matter of fact, that's why people live, in order to develop these false conceptions. And if one is developing these false conceptions, one is considered to becoming more and more successful. And if these false conceptions are being taken away, then everyone thinks it's always so pitiable. Oh, how unfortunate. But Queen Kunti said in her prayers to Krishna, Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanad Asat Sabaya Vana Vana Krichita Ridem Ride Neka Maharatastraso Dronyastra Tas Virakshitaha. Now, if someone is given poison, immediately they call, at least in America, it's 911, and they immediately rush the person to the hospital because they're afraid he might die. As a matter of fact, as I said the other day, one devotee went to a doctor and said, the doctor looked very morose and said, I think you're going to die. And the devotee looked at the doctor and said, I think you're going to die also. That Prabhupada, we heard many times, Prabhupada was here in London, and they were telling Prabhupada, they were asking Prabhupada, the reporters at the airport, Swamiji, why is it that in India so many people are dying? You say you're a spiritualist, you have the solution to the problems of life, but we know that in India, where your philosophy comes from, so many people are dying. And Prabhupada said, yes, everywhere I've gone around the world, and even here in England, the most advanced country in the world, still I've noticed that the death rate is about the same, 100%. But people are doing everything they can to avoid. Matter of fact, the whole material adventure is an attempt to stop death. People are doing everything here to stop death. And everyone is unsuccessful. But when we hear poor Bhima was fed poison, he was going to die, we lament. And after being fed poison, they were put into a house of lac, set on fire, and they survived. And then they fled, and someone in the forest wanted to eat them. So, talk about what appears to be bad karma, or at least a bad period. We think, oh, poor Queen Kunti, the whole life, they had such a good opportunity, and it was just a life of problems, one after another. So surely she was depressed. She had a problem with her prestige. What do they call that when people have a problem with their prestige? What's that? Yes, self-esteem. She must have had a problem with her self-esteem. I was the queen and everyone was trying to kill me. Now I feel a little paranoid. No, but she was actually more enlivened. Vipadak shantu takshasvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavata darshanam nyasat apanar bhavadarshanam. I want to see these calamities. Not that she went to the astrologer and say, I've been having a bad period. Can you give me a gemstone? No, she said, if there's any gemstone on my finger, I'm taking it off, because the more problems, then the more we get to see you. And the more we get to see you, the more likely it is that we won't see birth and death again. On the other hand, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shibir E Damanak Madakpuman Navahat Yavadatumvai Twam Akinchana Gotra. all the things that people are striving so hard to get. They're so envious that other people have them. Like birth in a nice country. All the refugees coming to England, coming here to come to this nice country with the good weather, the happy people, fleeing places where the weather is always, you know, warm and sunny, so they can come to liberate themselves from the problems of organic food and clean water and fresh air and sunlight, and take refuge in England because it's an advanced country and they have money that's quite heavy, at least in pounds. So they want a good birth. Aishvarya, so they can get money, 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 sweeter than honey. You can buy anything. Matter of fact, we find so many Indians come to England, they settle here, they save up their money so they can fly back to India. Work hard so they can take a vacation and be happy in India again. Shruta, and material learning. People are so learned nowadays, they know how to get on the internet. That's all they know. At least if you have an Apple computer, they know how to say, "Hey Siri, I don't know anything. Please tell me. I'm a soul surrendered to you. Please instruct me." And Sri Beer. The cosmetic industry is such that you may look like, you know, you slept for 30 years, but by your cosmetics, you look like you as fresh as a rose. As a matter of fact, even when you die, they paint you up in such a way as you look healthier than you were. People go by the casket and say, "Wow, he looks so peaceful now." Never saw him look so bright. So this is what people are striving for, one way or another. They want material progress. But we're not this body, we're actually spiritual souls, and the aim of life is not to make material progress, the aim of life is to get out of material existence. And without that, we're just wasting our time. Even Brahma is trying to get out of material existence. He has the best position in the material universe. His birthday is, 3,200,000,000 of our years. No, that's his only his one. Yeah, that's his one day. What to speak of his birthday? He lives for 311,040,000,000,000 years, and he's afraid he's going to die. He's nervous. I'm getting old. Because actually he's already 150 trillion years. And he's thinking, I don't have much left to live. So he's trying to focus his mind on Krishna, delegate his service to others so he can just perfectly think about Krishna. Matter of fact, he's given the mortgage on the lotus flower that he lives on to his sons. He's already put that into his inheritance. Because after he dies, there's not going to be left anything left of the lotus flower. But in any case, just in case he dies prematurely, someone will have to take over the lotus flower. So Prabhupada said, we're already intoxicated by this material identification. And we're even more intoxicated if we want to make some progress here. If we think there's something I'm going to achieve here in the material world, and that progress usually means I'm going to be a little bit better than everyone else in something. Instead of trying to hit that little ball into the hole five times, I'm going to try and perfect my life, and it's going to take four hits to get into the hole, one less than everyone else. And that would be the perfection of my life. At the end of my life, instead of putting a tombstone, they'll put a golf club over my body. just a and a golf ball. And this will be my advancement. So people are anxious to make advancement in something. Get more degrees, get more money, get better at sports, become more famous. But at the end, these things are all intoxications. Because it has nothing to do with the soul. It has nothing to do with the actual progress of the soul, which is to get out of these intoxications. But if we add more intoxication, we're already intoxicated, then we become completely crazy. So people in this material universe, they're all crazy. And we happen to be here with them. But at least we shouldn't be so crazy that we think that becoming more crazy is advancement. We should try to become, although we may be crazy, we should try to become sane. We should at least take to the process by which we become eventually intelligent, sane, so that when we leave this body, we haven't just wasted our life cultivating so many things. The material world is so subtle that as soon as we forget Krishna, then at once we're in Maya. And as soon as we're in Maya, practically speaking, whatever we're doing, we're gaining karma. We're preparing for next body in terms of what we're presently doing. We're adding to our whatever position we're going to be in our next or in future lifetimes. Before I joined the movement, I remember one day I was chanting my rounds. At that time I was chanting 25 rounds every day. And I realized that, had to go to school. I was at the university. I was a student at a university. So I had to take a bus every day to go to the university. It was University in Buffalo in New York. And when I was on the bus, I was chanting my rounds, and I was seeing that as soon as I was chanting, that everyone around me seemed to become more happy. And then I went later to visit my friend. I was chanting, and I was seeing that my friend, who also joined the movement also, at the same time I did, Jagadish Puru, and he was having a fight with his sister and his father. And as soon as I started to chant, then they all became peaceful. I said, wow, this is really powerful. And then I realized that as soon as I stopped chanting, then at once I'm going to be in Maya. Of course, I was used to being in Maya, but as a matter of fact, the chanting was something special. But then I realized that actually, as soon as I stopped chanting, I'm going to be in Maya. It's not that I never stopped chanting, but at least I realized at that time what the standard should be. The standard is that we should always be chanting Hare Krishna. And as soon as we stop, then at once we're subjected to the illusory energy. Therefore, part of our progress is not only to try to love Krishna, try to pay attention to Krishna when we're chanting, but also try to appreciate the devotees, try to cooperate with them for the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at the same time, try to help the innocent. Innocent means anyone who knows less than I do, I should try to help them become Krishna conscious. And even more important, well, not more important, but equally important, is to try to give up the things that draw our mind away from Krishna. That the test is, am I actually remembering Krishna while I'm doing this activity? If not, do I really have to do the activity? If I don't have to do the activity, why am I doing it if it's not helping me remember Krishna? Unless I want to come back in my next lifetime and also do that activity again until I become so-called perfect. What are we actually trying to achieve here? Are we preparing ourselves to leave our body in Krishna consciousness and at least take the most auspicious position in our next lifetime, or even go back to the spiritual world? Or do we have some other desire? And what is that desire? What are we hankering for, and what are we lamenting about? According to Bhagavad Gita, it's real simple. Icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata sarabhutani samoha sageyanti purvrantapa. Ichcha and dvesha. We want to become God. That's what we're hankering for. We want to take Krishna's position. And dvesha, we hate the fact that we can't become God. Therefore, we're always lamenting. Why does Krishna not let me become God? He's had the post for so long. Why doesn't he retire and give it to someone younger? This is so undemocratic. No one elected God, Krishna God, and yet he won't give up his post. So we should understand, basically speaking, the raw fact is the reason why we're not remembering Krishna is because we're engaged in hankering and lamentation. The first lecture I ever personally heard Prabhupada give in Buffalo in 69, the first thing he said is that in this material world, there are only two activities. This is before we had the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, hankering for what we don't have and lamenting over what we've lost. So that's all we're doing here. What a glorious activity, just spending our whole existence hankering, lamenting. And we take it as very important. And we think people who have hankered more than we have, who have progressed more in material existence than we are, they're fortunate, and those who have lost what they've hankered for, they're unfortunate. So this is all called illusion. Actually, those who are remembering Krishna, under any circumstance, they're fortunate. And those who are forgetting Krishna, under any circumstance, they're very unfortunate. The more our material opulence increases, which everyone thinks is fantastic, then the more unfortunate we become if we forget Krishna. Just think about those great leaders in our society who have accumulated so much fame and wealth and material knowledge, material opulence, how much they're attached to these things and how much at the time of death they're going to become absorbed, not only remembering these things, but also having to experience the karma or the reaction for obtaining these things. One time Prabhupada was walking by a house in Switzerland, and the house was perfect. Every single leaf on the tree was exactly in its place. The garden, there was not one piece of grass higher than the other. Perfectly green. The house was perfectly painted. And Prabhupada said, so unfortunate this person was living there. Everyone else was thinking, oh, I wish I had a house like this. And Prabhupada was thinking, oh, telling the devotees, so unfortunate. He's so attached to this house. He spent so much time meditating on this house, on every leaf on the tree, that surely he's going to have to come back to live in this house again. But if he wasn't pious, if he wasn't performing devotional service, he may come back as a rat in that same house. Maybe the owner will give him a very nice hole in the house to live in. Therefore, we should understand here Bhishma Dev is leaving his body, and he's most fortunate because he's going back to the spiritual world. And he's most fortunate because all these great souls are there to say goodbye to him. Everything has been arranged perfectly for his perfect departure from this world to the spiritual world. And therefore, we should try to make our activities in such a way. Of course, we're not about to perform mystic yoga, but we can perform the greatest mystic yoga by taking seriously five things: chanting the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshiping the deities, serving the devotees, and making the atmosphere spiritual wherever we are, including going out and preaching, not only in our home. Of course, the home means make it spiritual atmosphere, means that we engage the family members in Krishna's service. And outside the home, in the temple, everyone is engaged in Krishna's service. And when we go on the street, we should also engage people in Krishna's service to make the atmosphere spiritual. So these five powerful processes will prepare us to go back to the spiritual world, either to go back to Goloka Vrindavan or join Krishna in his pastimes in some universe, or to come back in a family of devotees, or to get the association of the devotees in our next lifetime, which is as good as being in the spiritual world. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?